If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you now to turn to Psalm 37. We will be considering today, briefly, the first 24 verses of the Psalm as we continue in our series of Psalm meditations, just making our way through the book of Psalms. And Psalm 37 is a wisdom psalm. It gives advice, in this case, from King David. As the caption of David indicates, it's a psalm of David from him. In his old age, David offers counsel through this song. And the main point is that the godly not become discouraged as they experience difficulty and observe the ungodly seeming to prosper. David assures the reader, and the Lord through David assures the reader, that those who have saving faith will be cared for by the Lord and preserved to inherit the earth, while the wicked will be done away with by the wrath of God. As it's a somewhat lengthy psalm, as I mentioned, I'm going to break it into two parts. I'll deal with the first half today, roughly the first half of the psalm. David offers an introduction to the theme of the psalm in verses 1 and 2. He then fleshes out what he means in the rest of the psalm. Verses 3 through 11 extol trust in the Lord and confidence that he will preserve the faithful. Verses 12 through 24 then have a form like those of the Proverbs, contrasting the behavior of the wicked with and its outcome with the acts of the righteous and their outcome. And that's as far as I'll go today. But we'll see next time, Lord willing, that verses 25 through 26 are David's observation of the Lord's care for the righteous. Verses 27 through 34 offer counsel and contrast the righteous and the wicked. And then verses 35 through 40 contrast the fate of the wicked and that of the righteous. But to deal with the first 24 verses today, the introduction, verses 1 and 2, says, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers." Excuse me. "Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." At times it seems that those who have no care for the things of God seem to prosper. We might even be tempted to think that it's more delightful, more enjoyable, in that sense, better to be an evildoer. You can do whatever you please, right? And there seem to be no consequences. It sometimes looks like they're having all the fun. Now, of course, if we know the Lord and as our relationship with Him deepens, we find more delights in even in this world than the wicked ever can devise for themselves. But sometimes, particularly maybe when we're a little bit younger in our walk with Christ, it might look like the people who have no regard for God are having all the fun. And in moments of discouragement, you might begin to envy the wicked. But David reminds us that their life is short, and they have no hope beyond this life. "But they will soon fade like the grass," he says, "and wither like the green herb." This is true of all of us in terms of our physical lives. These are short lives. And we just prayed for people whose lives were cut very short, even by our standard. And so someone like Andrew, for whose family and loved ones we prayed this morning and this afternoon, who lived to be about 30, I think he was, when he passed away yesterday. Well, he couldn't have hoped to live more than twice that amount or a little more. He had Down syndrome, so often they die a little younger, particularly. But none of us can hope to live maybe more than 60 or 70 years, much more than that, even today where people are sometimes living beyond 100 years old. What's that? That's just a little handful of years. Those of you who are over 70 years old, how long does it feel like you've been around? I didn't have a midlife crisis when I turned 40. Maybe I will when I turn 50 later this year. I don't know. But I didn't then. But I could really understand how people do, why people have midlife crises, because when I turned 40, I realized it didn't feel like it took very long to get here. And I know that every year seems to go by a little bit faster than the year before it. So the next 40 years are going to even seem like they're shorter than this first 40 years. Or now as I approach 50, I could say the same thing. So if I'm around when I'm nearly 100, I will know that that time, that second 50 years, will go by much faster in my mind than the first 50 years. How short is human life? And for those of us who are in Christ, we have hope beyond this life. But for someone who is not, any such feeling of such a hope is actually empty. Like grass and green herbs under the hot sun of Israel in a dry season, they will fade and wither. And then there's nothing, nothing but God's wrath beyond. So this is the general theme of the psalm, that we need not envy the wicked. And Paul is going to contrast, therefore, David is going to contrast, therefore, the destiny, if you will, of the wicked versus the righteous. To illustrate that theme, David begins by extolling faith in the Lord. Those with saving faith will see a very different outcome than those who do not fear the Lord. And so he writes, starting in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." So you just stop there. Notice trust in the Lord is first. And Paul, or I keep saying Paul in a way, but David, Paul did not write Psalms. He wasn't around then. I'm just so used to preaching from Paul in the New Testament, I guess. I teach on Tuesday mornings, the Bible class. We've been studying Romans. Maybe that's why I've got Paul in my head. But notice that it's not that David is saying, trust in the Lord plus do good, then God will like you. No, you trust in the Lord. The result of that is that you're doing good. And you will dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness. It says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Our delight ought not to be in the things that we see the wicked seeming to have all the fun with. Our delight needs to be in the Lord. Whatever you have or don't have in this world, trusting in the Lord, delighting in him, brings the noblest of our desires to fruition in the world to come, and also brings great blessings in the here and now. But ultimately, you will dwell with the Lord and enjoy him forever. Don't be discouraged when it looks like the wicked are prospering and you're not. For, as the next two verses say, 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Sometimes we can be discouraged because we try to do the right thing. We serve Christ, and it can bring trouble rather than delights for us in this world. We might get persecuted. We might be shunned by our neighbors. But the Lord will vindicate that. He will cause that righteousness to shine as a light, your justice as the noonday. You may suffer as being an evildoer because you're trying to do the right thing. The more that the world calls good evil and evil good, that's more likely to happen. But your righteousness will shine forth. God won't let it go unrewarded and unnoticed. Starting at verse 7, he says, "Be still," David says, "be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath." Think of the context there. He's not just telling us refrain from anger in general, but don't get angry about the fact that some people seem to be having all the fun and you're trying to be a godly person. "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." To be cut off in the Old Testament context means to be cut off from God's covenant people and all of the blessings that go along with that. Ultimately, that means going to hell. But here, if we wait for the Lord, we inherit the land. Or we can translate that, inherit the earth. Earlier today, I read a scripture lesson from Matthew 5 where Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And we'll see that explicitly here in a bit. Fretting over the prosperity of the wicked leads to envy and to sin on our part. Rather, David counsels here, Christ counsels through David, remember those who wait for the Lord will outlast those who don't. Indeed, as Jesus fleshes this out in his Sermon on the Mount, we do see that inherit the land really means more than Israel inheriting Canaan. But what that pictured, which is the saints inheriting the new heavens and the new earth. Similar statements appear in verses 11, 22, 29, and 37 in the psalm. So this is a common sub-theme of Psalm 37. God's people inherit the earth. Verses 10 and 11. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land, or the meek shall inherit the earth, and delight themselves in abundant peace. Verses 12 through 24, then, are proverbial. They contrast the behavior of the wicked and its outcome with the behavior of the righteous and its outcome. This is why this is often called a wisdom psalm, because these verses especially look a lot like the book of Proverbs. David says, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. That term laugh there is laughing in derision, in the sense like, what do you think you're doing? You can't possibly accomplish what you are. Same kind of concept as we see in Psalm 2, when the kings of the earth plot against the Lord. How foolish. So the Lord is scoffing at their foolishness, and the same thing is true here. The wicked draw the sword, David says, and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. The Lord will undo their efforts and turn them back on themselves. The wicked may plot against and persecute the righteous. At best, that's temporary. Or we'd say at worst, from our perspective, that's temporary. The Lord laughs at their pitiful efforts. In the end, those who seek the destruction of the church themselves will be destroyed. So David points out it's better to be a not so prosperous, but godly person. Now, it doesn't mean that to be godly means that you're poor, or to be poor means you're godly. There are many very wealthy, righteous people in Scripture. Abraham, Job, David himself, pretty wealthy and powerful. So that's the point here. But he says that while it's fine to prosper in this world, it's better to be not so prosperous in this world, but godly, than it is to be prosperous in this world and ungodly. He writes, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. What a wonderful thing to think there. The wicked try to do things in their own strength, and those arms will be broken. But I don't need the strength of my own arms to get me where the Lord wants me to be. The Lord upholds the righteous. I say that only knowing that I can be righteous in Christ alone. The outcome of godliness is quite different, starting at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Think of the glory of the pastures. What is that? Well, after a nice rain during the spring or the summer, maybe the pastures will bloom with beautiful flowers. It doesn't take long for those flowers to fade and wither. The wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. What looks beautiful today and interesting and prosperous is just going to break down and decay. Verse 21, the wicked borrow, but does not pay back. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. That relates to what Paul says in Romans, isn't it? Paying what we owe. The wicked borrow, but don't pay back. But we need to pay back what we owe. But interestingly, the wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. So it is those with faith who are established forever. That's what David says in the final two verses of this section where we're going to break off here. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. So you might fall, you might stumble, you might have troubles in this world, but they will never be to your destruction ultimately. God will preserve you if your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing another portion of this psalm. Why don't we stand together and we'll sing Psalm 37, selection C.